Hello and welcome to the Scrap Go Scrap podcast, where we talk about the increase in the size, the cost, extended reach, and the power of government, a terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government, for that matter. Yeah, I'm a little late, but then again, so's everybody else, so that's okay. Oh, today's topic, besides the increase in the cost, size, cost, extended reach, and the power of a terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government, is peeing in public. I just had that conversation. Basically, it's illegal to urinate in public, but it's not illegal to take a poo in public. Does that make any sense? I don't understand. No habla. Anyways, I'm also working on trying to get a new video player to work on this little tiny computer. Doop 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 doop. Waiting for David Ray at the same time. David's on his way to Texas. Actually, he's on his way here and then on his way to Texas. All right, see how this works. So, yeah, David Ray and I used to work for this tree guy. And, you know, his opinion or his experience was all tree people pee in public. You know, they just whoop it out wherever they are, whenever they want, and take a leak if they got to, which is all fine and dandy if it wasn't illegal. Now, whether it's illegal or not does not mean that it's... What the frack is this? Okay. Just because it's illegal doesn't mean it's unlawful. The government passes laws all the time that don't make any sense. Like, in some states, it's illegal to have a yard sale sign in your yard. Does that make sense? No. What the hell? I can't get rid of that. Oh, there it is. Okay.
That looks like a lot better quality.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That's not valid right
there. Trying to get this program to, or these movies, to be viewable on this little tiny computer and transfer all the data to a TV through the HDMI cable. The two programs I had on there wasn't working. The resolution was too much on the video for the tiny laptop in, to work. And at the same time, I think the video card... Okay. The video card wasn't computing everything properly, so I couldn't play it with the standard Windows Media Player, because it was playing the audio okay, but it was playing the video part in slideshow format. So you would see the pictures back to back, like you're doing a slideshow and then listening to the audio, which is kind of cool, but kind of frustrating at the same time. So I guess it would be cool with certain movies and uncool for other ones. So that wasn't going to work. And then the one with the orange construction cone, I think it's a VLM or whatever, that's the one, that's my favorite one to use. It's got less holes, less problems. It wouldn't work. The resolution was too much for the computer, and it had it was pixelated, and if you blew it up, then you would only get like part of the movie. So it's like watching a widescreen on a full screen TV, but 10 times worse. So you would like not, it would just chop probably half the movie out of it. And you would only get like the very center of what's going on. You couldn't see the top, you couldn't see the bottom, you couldn't see the outsides. And so that was frustrating. So I had to find another one that was free that would work. And I think this one was called Pop Something. I found a website that said top 10 free movie media players. And so I tried this one, and it seems to be working. So it's Pop Something. It's got a yellow icon. That's all I remember. Because I had like five things going on at once. We're painting this house. I'm out here working in the oil field right now. I got a roommate situation. I got a good deal. Basically, I'm paying the utilities. And I'm helping him fix up his house so that he can sell it and move. And so, and then he's going to pay me in the end. Yeah, I do some extra bonus stuff like, you know, I buy a couple other little things here and there, whatnot. But you know, I'm getting a pretty good deal here. And like I said, he's going to pay me at the time of sale, and I'm going to take that money and I'm going to use it to drill for water on my land because I need 10,000. Well, 8 to 10,000 to drill for water on my land. So, bada boom. Anyways, kind of cool and creepy text message I just got. But anyways, yeah, I just get myself in the weirdest predicaments when it comes to women, and I'm learning that it's best to just avoid those situations, even if it means being alone. It's depressing, but it saves me a lot of headache and money for that matter. OMG. Anyways, yeah, this one here, I don't even know where to even begin, but I do not want to open that can of worms. It could create me tons of problems if things go sour. And I'm just like, I got enough problems. Yeah, especially coming, you know, dealing with government, and she's in government. So I'm not opening those cans of worms. But anyways, on to the next subject. Urinating in public. It's illegal to urinate in public, but it's not illegal to take a dump in public. Does that make any sense? No. But anyhow. Yeah, David Ray and I worked for this tree guy. He was pretty cool for the most part. My only issues with him was that he was pushing his religion and politics down my throat every day. But I could pretty much deal with that, even though I didn't believe, you know, the same way that he did necessarily. I believe partly. But the problem with religion is if you don't believe, or politics for that matter, if you don't believe exactly the way they believe, there's something wrong with you. And there's something wrong with that. But we're not all going to agree on everything 100%. You know, it's like I have an ex-girlfriend who believed that we came from aliens. And she was always reading the Bible, trying to find evidence and proof of that. You know, everybody always turns to the Bible to prove that their theories are true. And not even the Bible is even true. But that's a whole nother subject. I mean, there's tons of holes in the Bible. And you got to look at the other Bibles or the other books that were supposed to be in the Bible that were taken out of the Bible in order to get the whole picture. But even that's been altered. So we don't know what's the truth. And if you try to tell somebody that they don't know the truth and that you know the truth, then you're just lying to yourself and others. So really, we haven't a clue. We really have no clue. The animals probably know more than we do. But anyways, politics. Oh, yes, we love politics. Actually, we don't love politics. We don't really talk politics. We talk freedom. We talk liberty. We talk about injustices and what's just and what's unjust, what's lawful, what's the difference between lawful and legal. Those are the type of things that we talk about here on this podcast. So, yeah, basically what was a make or breaker in our work in the tree business. A few days prior to the situation, I had gotten an offer to go to work in the oil field. And I basically was turning it down because, I was actually, things were kind of shaky in the, working in the tree business. I wasn't really making enough money. I was pretty good at what I was doing. But I hadn't had the experience. My tree boss said that, he has seen very few guys take to the tree business like I did. He says I could be just as good as anybody else in half the time. So I could have been really good, and I could have made good money, but I didn't have the time to wait because of child support, because of other bills, and I was getting behind. And child support's no laughing matter. I mean, those assholes, they'll throw you in prison without even blinking. They don't give a damn about your problems. They don't give a damn about your situation. All they care about is their the money and their power, and the power that they can, bestow over you. Not bestow on you, but bestow over you. It's just a big power trip. And that's the way a lot of people in government is. So it's not supposed to be that way. They're supposed to be our public servants. They're supposed to serve us. They're supposed to be here to serve and protect. And they don't do that anymore. But nonetheless, I was getting behind on my bill, so I was looking at my options. I was looking at going back on the road. I put an application in for alltruckjobs.com, and I got a lot of offers. Some good, some bad. One of them was the oil field. And I always heard, that was good money and blah, blah, blah. It's not really as good as it sounds. You got to work ungodly hours to make that extra couple dollars. There are some good paying jobs in the oil field, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's people who make in a week what some people make in a year. Okay? Those are good paying jobs. And I'm looking for ways to get into some of those jobs, but I'm not there. I wish I was, but so does everybody. The other problem is, too, is they may not be really that great at jobs. I could not live. Well, I probably could, for that kind of money. But I would find it very difficult to live on an oil well. I visit those wells almost every day. And it's dirty, it's filthy, it's nasty. I can't stand outhouses. So, I'm not outhouses. I really don't like outhouses either, but I can't stand porta potties. So, I don't see myself living on a pad. That's what we call them, a pad. And, so I don't think I could really go to that extent. But, nonetheless. So most jobs in the oil field don't really pay as good as they make it out to be. But I thought, here's a good opportunity. So before the situation went down, I got this job to go work in the oil fields. And I kind of sort of turned it down because they're like, we need somebody now. And this opportunity may not be here a week or two from now, Come to find out, the opportunity was always there because this company was a scam, was a fly-by-night operation. And they ripped people off, which is why I'm not there anymore. But nonetheless, they put this pressure on me that the job wasn't going to be around, you know. And I'm like, well, sorry, you know, I already got this other job. I can't quit without giving like a 2 weeks notice type of thing, blah, blah, blah. And then the situation happened. Well, David Ray and I, we're not your typical alpha males, and I'm not sure really, even really, really what the word or terminology is. But David is more sensitive than me even, you know, when it comes to going to the bathroom. Now, he won't even use a urinal. He's a stall man. He goes into the stall and uses the stall. I don't care, you know, I mean, I'm kind of homophobic. David's really homophobic. And homophobic doesn't mean that you hate gays. A lot of people use that word as you being, you know, a hater. We're not haters. We don't have a problem with people being gay. We just are not gay, and we're kind of sensitive about any men encroaching on us in a sexual nature, if you will. So, and like I said, David's way more sensitive with it than I am. But we don't hate people. We don't hate gay people. We're very gay friendly, if you will, because it's you know, they have the right to be gay just as much as we have the right to be who we are. So, religion aside, we're talking, you know, First Amendment rights here. We're supposed to be living in a free country where you're free to believe the way you want to believe. You're free to be your sexuality, and you're wrong for telling someone else that they're not allowed to be that way, or they can't be that way, or they shouldn't be that way, because you think it's wrong, okay? But to the point, now, David calls it a shy bladder problem. I don't know what, you know, he's just phobic. Okay, that was a work update. Basically, we got a lot of wildfires down here right now in Oklahoma, and one of our wells that we service is being evacuated due to the fires. We're not that far from the fires. We're not like right in the middle of it, but we're pretty close. And one of the wells that, you know, we take care of is right there. And so now the fire is encroaching on the well. They've evacuated the well. So we're down one well right now, which we're already down two wells. So now we're down three wells. And we had five, so now we only have two. So business is going to be slow for the next couple of days. It picked up for 2 days because one of our crews was down in Texas doing some work down there. But now that they're coming back, it's going to be even more slow because they're back and we got more people to cover less work. So anyways, that's what that was all about. So David's shy bladder. Oh, now I'm going to get a whole bunch of responses to that. This is a group text. So, yeah, David's real sensitive about going to the bathroom around other people, let alone in public. Well, our tree boss, his attitude was, you know, you got to go to the bathroom, you go to the bathroom. Who cares who sees you? You know, he just whoop it out anywhere, commercial, residential, whatever. He didn't care if somebody was seeing him. He just whip it out and go. And I'm surprised he never had any problems. I really am. And, I mean, maybe that's the way we should be. Maybe that's the attitude we should have, because the law is really unlawful. Because if you have to go to the bathroom, you have to go to the bathroom. I mean, growing up, if somebody's got to go to the bathroom, I'm not going to be like, oh, hey, ooh, gross, he's peeing in public, oh, call the cops. But there are people like that. And so you have to be careful that you don't get the cops called on you. And, you know, it is, I don't know if it's considered a federal offense, but if you're a guy peeing in public and a woman sees you, you can be put on a sex offenders list for the rest of your life. Well, I'm only 40 and David's only 50. You know, the last thing we want is to be put on some sex offender list, especially for a stupid reason like having to go to the bathroom. So, you know, we had issues about peeing in public in Kansas City, in residential areas where people could see us. And this tree boss had a problem with that. And so one day we stopped. You know, David and I would try to hold it till the end of the job, and we would try to go to the bathroom in between jobs. Unless, you know, it was kind of a wooded area and there was a private place where we could go to the bathroom and relieve ourselves. But if there was no place that we felt secure to go to the bathroom, we would try to hold it till in between the jobs. Because we didn't want to get in trouble by the, you know, world order. We should call it the world order because there's nothing new about the new world order. But nonetheless, we didn't want to get caught and get in trouble and become sex offenders for the rest of our lives for something stupid. So we'd try to hold it between jobs. Well, we did this one day, and we asked, you know, to stop the other bathroom, and he did. But David took a little too long in the gas station shopping for whatever. And, of course, there was some people there, so there was a line, I'm sure. I was in and out because I already knew how the guy was. I work with him every day. David only worked with him a couple days a week, if that much. He would come up from Stockton, and he would make some extra money working for the guy a couple days in a row. And I was mostly the climber, and David was the muscle on the ground holding the rope. You know, I did like big jobs where we needed the extra, you know, strong arm just in case I fell out of the tree, or if we had a big log or branch that we had to control to keep it from hitting the house or power lines or something like that. David was the strong arm because he's like, I don't know, he's stronger than me. He's like 2 or 3 times stronger than I am. He's very strong. He's just like stronger like a baby ox. But so, you know, I was the tree guy, and he was the ground guy. And the tree boss, he was, you know, the tree boss. He's the professional. He knew what needed to be done. And he was actually really good up in the tree, too, but he was starting to get, you know, he was in his 70s. He was starting to get a little frail, and he couldn't move as fast. He couldn't do as much. He was kind of skeptical of having me go up in a tree because he's had a lot of nightmares. Tree experiences where people say, oh yeah, I can do this, I can do this. And then they get up there and they freeze. You know, they get scared, and then he's got to figure out how he's going to get them out of the tree. He said he's seen horrible experiences. But he said, I took to the tree like a duck takes the water type of thing. I'm like, well, I'm a Leo. You know, I'm a cat. Rawr. Whatever. But I mean, I was up there, I was just all over the place like crazy, you know. And I really probably would make a great tree guy. I only slipped and my spikes gave out on me once, and it scared the crap out of me. And after that, of course, this is towards the end. After that, I was a little more shaky and a little more slow and a little more timid for about a week or so after that, just because it did. It scared me. After time went on, I started getting faster, and I put that behind me. But nonetheless, anyways, so that was my job, and that was David's job. So in between doing work, we stopped at a gas station, we went to the bathroom, and we got back in the vehicle, and we took off, went to the next job. Well, because David took too long, Tree Boss got mad and started making a big deal about us stopping and going to the bathroom, about him taking us to the bathroom. Now, if it was a woman on the job, he would have no problems with her leaving the job and going to the bathroom. In fact, one of my ex-girlfriends was on the job with us for a few weeks, and I took a separate vehicle so that if she had to go to the, she didn't drive, so I had to leave. So he lost two people for however much time it took us to go to the bathroom. When she had to go to the bathroom, I had to drive, I or the tree boss or David Ray had to drive her to the bathroom. So there was two people down every time she had to go to the bathroom. But that was no big deal. But it was a big deal for us to stop in between jobs to go to the bathroom. He made a big stink about that. And David and I tried to explain to him that, you know, it's against the law to pee in public. If you get caught, it's a major problem. And of course he's like, that's the biggest bunch of crap I ever heard. And I told him, I says, I agree with you that it's a bunch of crap, but it doesn't mean that it's not true. And I told him, I says, if you don't believe us, go. So I told him, I said, if you don't believe us, you know, go to the police department. Go find a police officer and ask him or her if this is true. He goes, I'm not going to do that. Blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, you know, hey, if you don't want to do your homework and you don't want to, you know, but you want to put our life in danger. I mean, you may not care about, you know, you being put on the sex offenders list. You don't have that much more time left on this earth. But I got another 60 years left on this earth. I do not want to be put on the sex offenders list for the next 60 years. It's the last thing I want. Well, one of the last things I want. But anyways, I was like, that's, you know, I already have enough trouble finding a decent woman. If I get put on a sex offenders list, this kind of make it even harder for me to find a decent woman. Maybe. I don't know. Decent women seem to go look for trashy guys. But nonetheless, you know. I didn't want to be put on a sex offenders list. So we had a standoff. And he didn't want to go do his homework to see whether or not we were telling the truth or not. He just assumed we were lying or we were full of crap. He said, well, fine. I'm just not going to take you to the bathroom anymore. And I said, well, fine. Today's my last day. He said, are you threatening me? I was like, no. But you want to put my freedom and my liberties in jeopardy because you don't want to go do your own homework. And and mostly I was looking out for David because he's more sensitive about this than I am. But I was adamant about it myself, but I was looking out for the both of us because neither one of us want to be put on a sex offenders list. Neither one of us want to have a record like that for something so stupid and foolish. Like the guy said, it was the most ignorant thing he ever heard. I agreed with him. But it doesn't mean that it isn't so. So I called the oil business back and says, when can I start? You know, and I said, I can start next week. Is that good? They said, it's good. So I told the boss that he's got me for the remainder of the week. Actually, I was planning on that being my last day. But he wanted us to come back the next day. And he cooled his jets on that. You know, I drew a line in the sand. I was ready. I was going to be like, today's our last day. And that's it. We're done. And, but he, you know, he had some work he still needed to get done. So he wanted us to work the rest of the week. And we did. And he cooled his jets. He was really nice after that. He did not bring up the subject of peeing in public. He did not bring up, you know, he took us to the bathroom, whenever we needed to go to the bathroom, whatever. We worked the rest of the week. I took David back home, and I went to Texas and started my new job. But, you know, peeing in public, that is against the law. Now, why is it not against the law for you to poop in public, but it's against the law for you to pee in public? Well, they say that you can hold your bladder more than you can hold a bowel movement. I don't know if I agree with that. You know, I was in the medical field. I don't know that part of the medical dynamics, if you will. But I don't know. It's just weird that it would be okay to poop in public, but not okay to pee in public. And really, I don't think it matters. If you did either one, you would get arrested for indecent exposure. And that would be their grounds, indecent exposure. And again, you'd be put on the sex offenders list. For what? Relieving yourself in public. Now, if you were jacking off in public, that's a different story. And I'm not saying that you should just go and relieve yourself in public wherever you want, whenever you want. That, you know, there should be some discretion to that. But yeah, you know, hey, if you have a tree business or any other business for that matter, and your employees have to go to the bathroom, and you're not allowing them to go to the bathroom in a secure location, if you will, you're basically putting their lives in danger, because you're potentially creating them to be sex offenders for the rest of their lives for something foolish. Of course, another foolish sex offender subject, if we want to go there, I know of a couple that was dating in high school. He turned 18 before she did. They were in love with each other, but their parents had an issue with her parents had an issue with him. So once he turned 18, they filed charges against him and had him thrown in prison. And it worked. They basically won their case. He was 18. She was underage. He went to prison. Even though they started having sex before he was 18, he still went to prison. Now, after he got out of prison, they got back together, got married, and have kids together, and they're happily ever after. But he's still, to this day, on the sex offenders list for having relations with his wife before they were married. Is that fucked up or what? You know, I mean, we got some really stupid laws out there. But I don't know. I got a list of other things to talk about. I gotta check my text message here real quick. I'll check the one from the other lady later. Let's see, update, Fleet 4 will be moving around, blah, blah, blah. Oh, okay. So around the 22nd or 23rd, we have a demob where we have to break down and move their equipment from one well to another. That's Fleet 4. And then Fleet 1 has been evacuated until further notice. That's all I know right now. Blah, blah, blah. Any idea where Fleet 4 is moving? I hear it's not real far from where they are now, but far enough we have to move it. Oh, yeah. If it's right across the street, they'll move themselves. Not exactly sure where, though. But that's good. Short distances are good payloads for us. Because we get paid basically from 0 to 50 miles, we get paid a certain amount. 50 to 100 miles, we get paid another amount. So we like the short runs. We like the runs that are closer to 0 or, you know, closer to 50 if it's over 50, closer to 100 if it's over 100. You know how it goes. Because we get paid by the 50-mile increments. And it doesn't pay half bad. I mean, let's put it this way. If I worked for Halliburton or BJ Services or Schlumberger, those are the three that's off the top of my head. Anyways, if I worked for one of the oil companies, they don't pay that great. I mean, they pay good. Don't get me wrong. They pay like $20 an hour, which is supposed to be good. That's like the minimum I would work for. But I got a lot of bills. And not really bills that I choose to have. Some of them are bills that I don't have a choice in having, like child support. And, of course, some people might say that's my own fault. And it partly is. But, you know, that's a whole nother subject. Yeah, my wife cheated on me and got pregnant by another guy. But I'm the one who got stuck with child support and never got to see my kid again. And then the first one, I don't know, she lied and said she was on the pill. And I believed her, like a dumbass. So that's like, Harry, that's another thing. You know, it's like if you believe the woman and something goes bad, then you're a dumbass. If you don't believe the woman and protect yourself, then you're an asshole. You can't win. But anyways, I'm pretty much done with relationships because I'm tired of women talking down to me and treating me as if I'm a lesser form of life form, a lesser life form. You know, women think they're all holier than thou and almighty, and we're, you know, dogs. But anyways, it's whatever. I don't care to even go there anymore. Back to politics. What was I going to talk about? Oh, yeah. Oil. No, I sent the wrong emoji. Oh, well, who cares? Send me. I sent a sun face emoji with a thumbs up. So anyhow, they get paid like $20 an hour, which is cool. Don't get me wrong. But they do a lot of grunt work for $20 an hour. I move the equipment from one location to another, and I make $25 to $100 an hour. So I get, you know, on a bad day, it'll be less. You know, I might make as little as $16 an hour, but that's rare. I typically make, you know, minimum what they make, maximum. Well, what they make standard. And the oil companies complain that they can't find drivers that can pass a drug test. You know, they can't find quality drivers that can pass a drug test. Well, why aren't you paying them better? I make more than they make. And I'm working for a third party. Actually, I'm working for a fourth party. Because I'm working for somebody who works for somebody who works for them. So there's two middlemen between me and the oil company. Now, if they cut out those two middlemen, they could pay me more than what I'm making now, and I make now more than their guys make. Does that make sense? But I won't go work for them because they don't pay enough, and I'm like a super high quality driver, or qualified driver, I should say. I am a quality driver. I'm not a quantity driver, but I'm a quality driver. There's a difference. A lot of people want quantity drivers. They don't really care about quality. And so I'm not really a favorite, if you will. But I'm more about precision. I get the job done right. It may not be as fast as other people, but I get it done right. And so that's the difference between a quantity driver and a quality driver. I may not make them as much money, but I save them money by not having incidences in the long run. Like the quantity drivers tend to have more incidences and they end up costing the company money. But everything else looks good on paper. Oh, he's making us tons of money. So we can, you know, we can pay this and this and this and this because they're making us money. You know, but then they look at me as being the bad guy because I'm not making them as much as these other guys. But then again, they forget that I'm also not costing them as much money as the other guys. So it's whatever. So that's the difference between quality and quantity. And they complain that they can't find enough quality drivers, but they're not paying them enough. If they paid more, I would go work for them. And other quality drivers would go work for them as well. But nonetheless, they can't find drivers who can pass the drug test because they don't want to pay them. So, yeah. Next subject. Well, since David hasn't called and no one else has either, let's call Ron Paul and see what he has to say. As soon as I find his phone number. There it is. It'll be a brief second, and I'll be back.
Over the weekend, President Trump celebrated firing more than 100 missiles into Syria by tweeting, "Mission accomplished." They say if you cannot learn from history, you are condemned to repeat it. So I guess we are repeating it. We all remember that mission accomplished was the banner behind then-President Bush as he gloated aboard a U.S. Navy ship that the war in Iraq had been won. After his so-called victory speech, however, some 4,000 U.S. military personnel were killed. Perhaps a million Iraqis were killed. And the country's infrastructure and social fabric were so badly destroyed that they probably can never be repaired. Actually, there is much about the U.S. attack on Syria that reminds us of Iraq. With Iraq, the U.S. moved in to start bombing before international inspectors had completed their mission to verify whether or not Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Had they been allowed to complete their mission and verify that he did not, imagine the suffering, death, and destruction that could have been avoided. In Syria, the U.S. decided to start bombing before the international inspectors were even allowed to start checking claims that Assad gassed his own people in Douma. Why? What was the rush? Was the Washington afraid they might not find Assad guilty? Who really benefits from U.S. attacks on the Syrian government? There were reports that ISIS began making moves immediately after the airstrikes. Do we really want to be Al-Qaeda and ISIS's air force? Is that going to keep us safer? I remember when Al-Qaeda was actually considered our enemy, not an ally, in overthrowing the last secular government in the Middle East. Will Syria's Christians be better off after the recent U.S. attack? Just over a week ago, Christians celebrated Easter in Aleppo for the first time in years. What changed? The Syrian army kicked out al-Qaeda, which had been occupying the eastern part of the city. So no, Christians will be much worse off if our so-called moderate terrorists take over Syria. If Syria really had sarin and other chemical weapons factory, does it make sense for the U.S. to bomb the buildings and risk killing thousands by widely dispersing the poisons? Does it make sense to risk killing Syrian civilians with chemical weapons in retaliation for allegations that the Syrian government killed civilians with chemical weapons? No, it seems more like the phony mobile weapons of mass destruction lab we were told that Saddam Hussein had construction. If the U.S. knew Syria was manufacturing chemical weapons in the buildings they bombed, why not notify the Organization for the Prevention of Chemical Weapons? The OPCW had certified the very buildings the U.S. bombed as chemical weapons-free not that long ago. Why not just call them up and ask them to check it out? After all, they were just arriving in the country as the U.S. started bombing. There are many more questions about President Trump's terrible decision to, again, make war on Syria. For example, where's Congress? It was disgraceful to see Speaker Paul Ryan telling the president he needs no congressional authority to attack Syria. All members of Congress take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, and an institution says that only Congress can declare war. Does that oath mean nothing these days? Thanks for calling.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for Monday, April 16th. Over the weekend, President Trump celebrated firing more than 100 missiles into Syria by tweeting, "Mission accomplished." They say if you cannot learn from history, you are condemned to repeat it. So I guess we are repeating it. We all remember that mission accomplished was the banner behind then-President Bush as he gloated aboard a U.S. Navy ship that the war in Iraq had been won. After his so-called victory speech, however, some 4,000 U.S. military personnel were killed. Perhaps a million Iraqis were killed. And the country's infrastructure and social fabric were so badly destroyed that they probably can never be repaired. Actually, there is much about the U.S. attack on Syria that reminds us of Iraq. With Iraq, the U.S. moved in to start bombing before international inspectors had completed their mission to verify whether or not Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Had they been allowed to complete their mission and verify that he did not, imagine the suffering, death, and destruction that could have been avoided. In Syria, the U.S. decided to start bombing before the international inspectors were even allowed to start checking claims that Assad gassed his own people in Douma. Why? What was the rush? Was the Washington afraid they might not find Assad guilty? Who really benefits from U.S. attacks on the Syrian government? There were reports that ISIS began making moves immediately after the airstrikes. Do we really want to be al-Qaeda and ISIS's air force? Is that going to keep us safer? I remember when al-Qaeda was actually considered our enemy, not an ally, in overthrowing the last secular government in the Middle East. Will Syria's Christians be better off after the recent U.S. attack? Just over a week ago, Christians celebrated Easter in Aleppo for the first time in years. What changed? The Syrian army kicked out al-Qaeda, which had been occupying the eastern part of the city. So no, Christians will be much worse off if our so-called moderate terrorists take over Syria. If Syria really had sarin and other chemical weapons factory, does it make sense for the U.S. to bomb the buildings and risk killing thousands by widely dispersing the poisons? Does it make sense to risk killing Syrian civilians with chemical weapons in retaliation for allegations that the Syrian government killed civilians with chemical weapons? No, it seems more like the phony mobile weapons of mass destruction lab we were told that Saddam Hussein had construction. If the U.S. knew Syria was manufacturing chemical weapons in the buildings they bombed, why not notify the Organization for the Prevention of Chemical Weapons? The OPCW had certified the very buildings the U.S. bombed as chemical weapons-free not that long ago. Why not just call them up and ask them to check it out? After all, they were just arriving in the country as the U.S. started bombing. There are many more questions about President Trump's terrible decision to, again, make war on Syria. For example, where's Congress? It was disgraceful to see Speaker Paul Ryan telling the president he needs no congressional authority to attack Syria. All members of Congress take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, and an institution says that only Congress can declare war. Does that oath mean nothing these days? Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Terrorists always call non-terrorists terrorists. The problem with all that is, one, our government is probably the biggest terrorist organization on this planet, or at least one of them. Our government is one of the biggest drug cartels on the planet. Our government is probably one of the biggest liars on this planet. We believe everything they say, hook, line, and sinker. They create problems so they can advocate solutions for the problems, which puts more and more money and power into their hands, and into the hands of like-minded criminals who follow them into office. But we think they're wonderful. They're amazing. We praise their existence. We bow down and worship them as if they are all the Almighty. What is wrong with this picture? They're supposed to be serving and protecting. They're not. They're acting as gods. And they're not. They think they can do whatever they want, whenever they want, to whomever they want, however they want. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. And they call us and other people terrorists. And I say us because they classify freedom fighters as terrorists. And we're the people who are looking out for the best interests of the people. We're the three percenters. We are for the Constitution. We are for the people, by the people. But they make us out to be terrorists, and therefore people hate us and call us conspiracy theorists. Or some shit like that. It's like this thing on Facebook that I reposted, sort of. My mother posted this thing. It's actually a t-shirt. Let me go find it. It says, "Dear God, why do you allow so much violence in our schools?" Signed, a concerned student. God replies, "Dear concerned student, I'm not allowed in schools. Sincerely, God." And that's true and sad at the same time. But I commented, "True, but most of the school shootings are fake." Okay? We've gone over this before in previous podcasts. Most of them are staged by the government for one purpose in mind: to take our guns. They want us to think the guns are the problem, so we want to get rid of guns. Guns aren't the problem. The government has guns, and the government is the one creating these problems. Nonetheless, I said most of the school shootings are fake. But to be honest, doctors kill more people than school shooters. So why do you still take your kids to them? Question mark. And, of course, I got some reactions from that. Someone said, I'm sure that will fix the problem. And someone said, sad but true. Yeah, anyways, I'm not sure what he meant by I'm sure that will fix the problem. So anyways, and then somebody shared it, so that's cool. I wonder who shared it. Oh, okay. Like I said, most of these school shootings are fake. they're staged. Like this one lady who is a friend of Lenny Ladner's, I think I just friended her. She made a big deal on Facebook not too long ago about the government or some, what do they call them, non-government organizations, NGOs. Some NGO or government organization was putting an ad on Craigslist, looking for crisis actors for the situation down in Houston. And, of course, we assumed there was going to be a shooting so that they could try to take our guns. And because she made a big stink about it all over the Internet, they took the ad down, and this so-called event that was supposed to happen in Houston never happened. So we assume that the crisis actors was for another shooting that they were trying to stage. Now, the shooters, some of them were real, but some of them were coaxed. For example, we talked about the Batman shooting not too long ago. We don't know who the shooter was, and supposedly it was like three or four different people. And then they framed some guy who was coked or drugged out of his mind, sitting in his car, who was incapable of pulling off such a massacre. So who were the real shooters, if this even happened? I don't really know if it happened or not. But if it did really happen, who were the shooters? They were professionals, okay? And then the government framed somebody that could not have done it. So if the government says that this person, who obviously could not have been capable of pulling this gig off, did said gig, then wouldn't you think that the government was the one involved in the shooting if they're going to say that somebody who obviously was not involved was involved? I mean, the guilty party's always going to try to blame somebody else. If you're pointing the finger at someone else, you got three fingers pointing back at you, right? Criticism is a reflection of self, right? So, if they're going to blame somebody who obviously didn't do it, who did? Obviously, they have the evidence to say who did, but they're not giving those evidence. They're framing somebody who was obviously not capable of doing such of a job, whatever you want to call it, such horrendous act. So if they're going to frame somebody who could not possibly have done it, who did? Probably them. Or somebody with more power than them that they're afraid of. Now, what was it? Sandy Hook, I think it was. I think that one was just fake, all the way around fake. It had crisis actors there. If you watch the videos, the people coming out of the building, it was like either somebody said that they had the people basically going out one door, back in another door, and then back out the door again so that they can just have a continuous loop of people coming out of the building. Or they could have just cut the tape and did, you know, like a repeat, you know, editing the video and show all these people coming out of the building and just kind of re-looping that. I don't know. There's a lot of technology out there today where you can edit stuff and make it look real. You know, you can't believe hardly anything you see on TV anymore because how do you know it's real? I mean, they can doctor anything anymore. They can digitally create things and make them look so real that you think they are. Rumor has it, and supposedly there's videos out there to prove the fact that the airplane that hit the Twin Towers during September 11th was digitally edited into the videos. They believe it was a missile that was shot at the towers. And, of course, then the explosion that made the towers fall did not come from said airplane or missile. It came from planted dynamite that was already pre-installed into the building before the incident happened. Now, how could this be such a shock and surprise to the government or whoever if these charges were already planted in the building before the supposed attack happened? That was just all smokescreen so we can go to war and steal somebody's oil and who knows what else. But nonetheless, terrorists always call non-terrorists terrorists. They always blame somebody else. Anybody who opposes them is the terrorist. So they create a problem so they can advocate a solution for the problem, like school shooting, like September 11th. Timothy McVeigh, I don't know how much of that's real, but, you know, what was that situation? There was documents in there that the Clintons wanted to cover up. You know, so they blew up that building and made Timothy McVeigh out to be the bad guy. I don't know. That's probably just another conspiracy theory. Oh, my gosh. Our government is perfect. They're wonderful. They would never do such a thing. And you know what? I used to believe that crap, too. I used to think that shit. Why would our own government, who would be so heartless to attack the Trade Towers and kill thousands of innocent people. Well, some of them may not be innocent, but a lot of innocent people. Just so they can go to war and kill more people. Who would do such a thing? I used to think that people weren't that evil. Man, was I a fool. There are people out there that are more evil than that even. I definitely have a totally different view of people, life, humanity, the whole works nowadays. Life is definitely not what you think it is. People are definitely not who you think they are. Most of them. Some people are pretty transparent. I might have a little bit to hide, but anything that I'm hiding, I'm probably hiding it from myself. So, even I'm not aware of it. Let's see, what do I have in my closet? That's a good one. I have to think about that one. Because I pretty much air all my dirty laundry. problem is, I probably air my dirty laundry as well as other people's dirty laundry a little too much. That's probably my biggest problem. Nonetheless, that might be why I might also make a great podcaster. Who knows? I'm obviously not famous enough to be a great podcaster, but if I ever get famous, then I might make a good podcaster. Don't know. I need a lot of help in that department, though. Oh, La Vida Loca. What was Ron Paul talking about? War. You know, Constitution. You know, the president is supposed. There's David Ray. Hello, and welcome to the Scrap Gov Scrap podcast, where we talk about the increase in the size, the cost, the extent, the reach, and the power of a terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government. Huh?
I'm late, aren't I?
You what?
Yeah,
so calling today, wasn't I? I didn't understand that.
What the heck?
I understood that.
The police car's lights were flashing while it was being pulled up onto the tow truck.
Oh, nice.
Weird.
Hey, you remember when you was talking about diamonds being used in technology?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what a diamond... Okay. Well, this woman contacted me from China wanting to know if I have or have access to a diamond for a PCB.
For a PCB? What's a PCB?
Okay, that was my question.
I don't know. I do know that they make the best computer chips so far. There might be something even better, but the fact that diamonds are artificially inflated in price hampers us from having better computers.
Dang it, somebody texted and I just clicked over. Hang on. Trying to look that up. Damn it.
Anyway, my mapper says I should be there around 11:30.
Oh, you should be here at 11:30?
Yeah.
All right, I should be...
Is that the correct place to go?
I'm sorry, what?
I used the address you gave me for forwarding. Is that the correct place to go?
Oh, yeah, correct.
Okay, very good.
All right, a PCB is a printed circuit board.
Oh. Okay. Are you sure? Because that might be only one of the things that abbreviation means.
That's the main thing that keeps coming up in the search criteria.
All right. And she asked if you had diamonds for a PCB?
Yeah.
Okay, this guy behind me is an idiot. There's flashing blue and red lights up ahead. He changed lanes. I turned on my signal so I could move over, and he stops in my blind spot and rides there. I slow down. He slows down, maintaining his position in my blind spot. Really, we found out here have really weird red and blue lights.
Yeah, the cops have really, really bright lights. They think they're being safe, but they're really causing blindness and creating more of a problem. They create a problem so that they can advocate a solution for the problem.
Right. Since they're being more caught deaf as a result of this, they
right.
Need to bring brighter lights.
What?
Wow. Man, that's painful. Glad I just passed it. Which may be why the cop car I saw earlier was being towed. Okay, now I passed it. I'm going to go 30 miles per hour. While the idiot passes me. Well, I'll kill him. I hope he would want the distance between me and him. Of course, he's going to pull into the lane in front of me. Hope he doesn't slow down. Yeah, so do your search again. And what is she else? You got diamonds?
Yeah, diamond for a printed computer board. So it'd be a flat diamond, right?
Be what?
It'd be one of those flat diamonds.
I don't know.
She's an IT girl.
Thing to ask the average individual.
Huh?
It'd be a strange thing to ask the average individual.
Yeah.
If you were somebody who grew diamonds, it makes sense to ask you. But as far as I know, you haven't learned the technique for growing diamonds, nor have I.
Right.
Are you keeping some of your knowledge hidden from me? Are you holding out?
I wish. Yeah. I wish I had that kind of technology. I mean, diamonds are worthless other than using them for technology.
Oh, they're worthwhile for a lot of things. They make, you know, well, they use the black diamonds because supposedly the black diamonds are worthless. But they use black diamonds for races and for sometimes they use them for phonograph needles and for pivots for watch gears.
Right.
You know, they're practically frictionless when you use it for a pivot. I suppose if someone is ingenious and made black diamond bearings.
Ah, damn it. I looked up diamond growers. And it's sending me blue diamond, diamond fruit, diamond nuts. Watermelon production. People that call themselves, name their business after the diamond.
Look up artificial diamonds, and you might put in minus zircon. I don't know if that will still work as a search term in Google, but the minus sign in front of the word used to remove it from, used to make sure you didn't get any results with that in it. Plus for the word you wanted, minus for the word you didn't want.
Oh, okay.
Which I think lab will carry over from Archie and Veronica.
Yeah, apparently they are very expensive. Maybe that's why she's reaching out to people on Facebook looking for cheaper diamonds.
Right. Ask her how she's going to process them.
Well, if you look at her Facebook profile, she's an IT girl working for a big organization. So that might just be part of her job description.
To find diamonds.
Yeah, to find them. And she probably saw that I was an IT. And she probably saw
technology to know how to put circuitry onto a diamond.
Yeah, and she probably saw that I was an IT guy on my profile, so she assumed I might have connections.
Right. Yeah, see, they slice the quartz real thin, and then they... What's the circuitry? And because of flaws in the crystals, a certain percentage of the chips that you don't fall to that flat wafer are just going to be bad. Some of them will still work, but they won't be able to take as much heat as the others. And so you get different processing speeds from even the same wafer.
Right.
That's how they grade out your chips when they're making it. They test them. See how warm they get when they run processes. That determines whether, what speed they can run at. So you can overclock any chip, but the trick is they've already measured it and determined what the safe operating speed is for a given chip. And so if you overclock it, you're purposely violating that.
Okay.
And you might get away with it. Then again, you might blow a couple of transistors and that's the end of your processor.
Right.
And then again, you might get some really interesting random numbers that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So, great thing goes for diamonds. They cut out wafers and built the circuitry on it. So, the question is, does she have the machinery that will dump circuitry on the diamonds? I don't even know what chemicals he'd use to do that. But doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm sure its chemicals are close to close to carbon on the periodic table. Because with silicon chips, they use the chemicals on either side of silicon. Requires much less energy in order to run it. So what would run your regular laptop for a couple of hours would probably run your laptop for a couple of days if you had a diamond chip instead of a silicon chip.
Right.
And it would do very high speed processing at the same time.
Okay, well, that's a subject for the DD&D podcast. We'll have to talk about that at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. This podcast is about the increase in the size, the cost, extent of reach, and the power of a terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government.
Well, in a way, it relates.
Do what?
Well, the whole diamond industry is based on tricking people into thinking that this really common stone made out of hardened carbon is rare and expensive. And the truth is, it's about as common as the rhinestone. But they only release a few of them at a time. It's very political. I'm surprised that the diamond sellers don't do something to have all the diamond mines declared
where's the money?
Or something of that nature.
Oh, where's the money in that?
You would know?
I said, but where is the money in that? They're not going to do that. They want the money.
Well, no, I mean, they've got more diamonds than they'll ever sell in millions of years. So if they shut down the mines, that would just drive up the price of all the diamonds that are already dug up.
Alright, you lost.
If they're not taking up any more new diamonds, then they'd have the excuse of saying diamonds are extremely rare to the point where you'd have to pay 10 times as much as you're currently paying for a diamond. So there'd still be profit. And they just keep upping the price because of the rarity. Even though in truth, they'd be releasing new diamonds from their stockpile on a regular basis.
Well, that's what they do.
That's what they're currently doing. They don't really need to mine any more diamonds to continue doing it.
But they're still mining them.
Yes.
They're still mining them so that they can control the market.
That's probably true.
Because if they quit mining them, then someone else would come and mine them, and then it would deflate the value.
Well, if they declared the declared all of Arkansas as being a natural refuge, and that diamond mining was doing a destruction to the environment, that shut that down. And the other place is South Africa. These are the two major places where diamonds come from.
Okay, so let's move to Arkansas. So we can make millions off of a rock that is worthless.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, why not? Everybody else is doing it. That's just it. I'm about to start putting money in stocks, and I'm going to put my money in things like diamonds and other crap that is useless. But people keep buying. Like the RFID chip. And the RFID chip protecting devices.
Okay, it looks like I have to pay a toll here pretty quick.
You have to pay a toll twice. Unless you get off the highway, then you pay more than twice.
I don't plan on getting off.
All right. When you, stop and get fuel in Tulsa, so you don't have to stop again until you get to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, the tank in this is pretty full. I filled it up before I left.
All right. You won't make it to Oklahoma City, but you'll get close. So stop in Tulsa and fuel. So you don't have to stop again until you get to Oklahoma City. Otherwise, it'll be more expensive. It'll be cheaper that way, too.
I'm back an hour away from Tulsa.
Yeah. There's a quick trip. Just as you're getting into Tulsa on the right-hand side, it's a huge quick trip. It's also a truck stop. That's where I stop and get fuel when I'm in Tulsa. Mostly because it's a truck stop, and I try to support my truck stop.
Yeah. Get refund?
Huh?
Just talking about get refund receipt or something like that?
Oh, if you don't go the whole distance, like say if you're getting off at the next exit, they give you money back.
Okay, so I'm supposed to.
All right. The way it works is you're paying for the whole toll up front. If you get off early, they give you a refund for the difference.
Okay. And then you count on the fact that people who are traveling long distance.
I don't know what they count on. That's just the way it works. Yeah, you'll get another receipt. If you get off early, you'll get another receipt, and you'll get change.
Jesus. I put this on the floor for us, and it still might fall down. I do not like the Google instructions.
So that's how you get rich. You buy stock, you watch TV, you see stupid shit on TV, and you can't believe that people buy that crap. You put your money in those stocks.
I can show an even better trick.
What's that?
I have to show it to you. I was following it for a while.
if you can do electronic trading, there's companies that look like they're about to go bankrupt, that their price is going down every, I don't know, 75. Can I get a receipt of some sort? All right. I got to show it to the person I'm doing this for. All righty. Thank you. I like that. He actually counted it out in front of me. If I'm in California, they don't count it out in front of you. They get very upset when you count it, but they didn't. Okay. So, cops are very active tonight, pulling people over. That actually makes close to a dozen cops in the so far pulling somebody over. Anyway, I have to show you. But there's stocks. Usually the lower the value of the stock, the higher the vibration was. And what you're looking for is a percentage in change of price. So the price of the stock finally changed by about 5 cents. You'll do it several times a day. And if the stock is only a dollar, a 5 cent change is 5%. So you sell it at 95 cents and buy it at 90 cents over and over and over again all day long. Anyway, I worked out a system to follow the changes in prices. Because every once in a while they shift, you might drop down to 85 cents and drop between 75 and 85 cents for a while. And then they'll shift to some other price range. And, you know, those shifts could mess you up, but if you work it right, they don't really mess you up at all.
Okay.
But, you know, you have to have electronic trading. And part of that, I never implemented it because they got taxing rules. And at one point, I was made aware that every trade gets taxed. And if that's the case, you don't want to do that. Because even if you make 5% 20 times in a minute, you know, and if their resulting tax took away more than what you made, yeah, I don't know. Okay, I gotta look at my map because I'm now driving blind. Stop blinking on me. You. Stop that. Every time I reach for the phone, it blinks.
Jesus.
All right, currently I'm on route. I got 40 miles until I turn off at West 44. I'm going to 44 west. I guess I'm at a place called Big Cabin right now. Okay. I just saw the sign that said something about drive, don't smoke.
Oh, yeah, they're probably, that's probably the new thing about smoking is distracted driving is just as bad as texting while driving. They had a thing a little while back where smoking with your children in the car is child abuse and trying to get parents on child abuse if they smoke around their kids, which I don't agree with, you know, children having to breathe secondhand smoke. I had to growing up, and I didn't like it, and then I ended up smoking. But parents should not be charged with child abuse because they smoke around their children either. There's got to be a middle ground somewhere in there.
Well, that's like drinking in front of your children.
Drinking in front of your children is not that bad as long as you don't become an abusive alcoholic.
Yeah.
And if the tobacco was not laced with all these different chemicals, it wouldn't really be all that bad for the children to have secondhand smoke either.
So really the child abuse comes from Marlboro.
Right, the cigarette companies that are producing the cigarettes with all these chemicals in them are the ones who should be charged with child abuse.
So you get charged with child abuse for smoking in front of your children. You call in the tobacco company as your co-defendant. Like, hey, it wouldn't have been child abuse if it weren't for all the chemicals this company put into it.
Exactly. I agree with that.
Well, I don't really, but you know, still.
Oh, okay.
It's the same logic as holding the parents that highly liable.
The government might be trying to tax me this year for not having medical insurance.
In your current company?
Huh?
In your current company?
No, for last year. But yeah, my current company too. My, none of the jobs that I had since I left Coal City Cobb offered medical insurance. Therefore, I didn't have medical insurance. Not that I believe in it anyway. But their philosophy, the government's philosophy is if my company does not provide it, then I have to go get it. Kind of like car insurance. If you don't have car insurance, they punish you for not having insurance.
Right.
And that's the way it's going to be for medical insurance as well. So insurance is the new tax. I mean, it was already kind of like a tax to begin with, but now they're making it more and more like a tax. You're going to have insurance on your animals next. If you don't, you're going to be taxed for that. Who knows what other kind of insurance you're going to have. And if you don't, they'll tax you for that.
So they'll tax you for staying and they'll tax you for going.
Yes. Kind of like the window tax.
Yeah.
And they wonder why people want to blow up their shit.
That's just it, though. People don't blow up their shit. They blow up their shit, and then they blame people for it.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah, they blow up their own stuff, like the trade centers. And then blame other people.
No fertilizer bomb did that. If the fertilizer bomb did that, then where was the crater in the street where the truck was parked? There was none. The curb was intact. Indeed, there was no blackness on the curb. If the truck had blown up and taken out the front of that building, there could have left a crater in the pavement, and it would have taken out the curb.
Exactly. That was Koresh, right?
No. David Koresh was the Grand Davidian who were burnt alive with quote unquote tear gas.
Oh, Koresh. No, that was Waco. Yeah.
Yeah, David Koresh is a Branch Davidian, Waco, Texas. They had these military tanks with flamethrowers. They tried to say that it was tear gas that they were spraying in, but the tear gas caught fire. Well, you know, even if that was true, they poked those flaming tear gas tanks back into the building several times and sprayed it in.
So even if it was an accident, they were still doing it on purpose.
Even if it was an accident, once they were aware it was an accident, they should have backed off. So the tank driver, and whoever was ordering him to continue doing that, should have been put up for murder charges.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Timothy McVeigh, that was the Oklahoma bombing.
I believe you're correct. But not being the absolute font of knowledge, I'm not positive.
Right.
He speeds up so that I can't have him. Behind him, he's slowing down again. Well, I'll just slow down to about 8 miles per hour and call it good.
Call it good!
Okay, 65. Keeps it up, I'm going to speed up to 70 again and go around it. Okay, I'm speeding up. So he's one of these types that only speeds up when somebody's passing him.
Yeah, I hate people like that.
I try to do the reverse. If somebody's passing me, I slow down.
Yeah, right.
I do. I want to have plenty of room to get around me.
I know, I'm just messing with you.
You've been with me when I've done it.
Whatever.
Like right now. Man's passing me, I'm slowing down. I am not seeing people here tend to cut you off, much like they do in California. I've been flashing before. Or get me in trouble. Minimum speed, 50 miles per hour. Wow, speed limit 75 through here.
Yep.
Alright. Almost got set for that. There, I got set for 74. And I got a guy who's going to try to squeeze between me and the coming truck in the other way. Moving over. I bought a 4-pack of Starbucks. I think it's Starbucks. Not as good as I remember it.
Not that good, period.
I used to crave it on a nightly basis. When the actual Starbucks wasn't open, I'd stop at 7-Eleven and buy the bottle.
Well, that's probably what got them famous in the first place. Now they suck. But nothing lasts forever.
I'd order a large mocha with orange syrup. And they'd ask me, do you need a Venti Valencia? A Venti Valencia mocha, or you know, whatever they call mocha in Italian. They'd say, no, I want a large chocolate with orange syrup.
Yeah.
Large chocolate coffee with orange syrup. They go, yeah, a Venti Valencia. So what, it's another, how many hours from Oklahoma City to Dallas?
That's a good question. I think it's about 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah.
You might have to stop and take a nap.
Yeah.
But there's a spare couch.
He called me right as I was leaving. He tried to get me to take the route that we took to the nap.
That would be the proper route.
Yeah, except I wouldn't be able to talk to you.
Maybe.
In fact, my phone went out of service when I left in Missouri. Didn't come back in service until I had passed, I guess it was 59. So you were right about this being the in signal, or maybe it was Bill that was saying it was in signal.
Yeah.
So, did we really end the podcast?
Oh, yeah, we're in the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. I've been on the podcast for 2 hours.
Oh, we have one call I have to say this week. Did we hear that?
Yeah, but we can do it again.
No, we can just talk about him.
Date for Monday, April 16th. Over the weekend, President Trump celebrated firing more than 100 missiles into Syria by tweeting, "Mission accomplished." They say if you cannot learn from history, you are condemned to repeat it. So I guess we are repeating it. We all remember that mission accomplished was the banner behind then-President Bush as he gloated aboard a U.S. Navy ship that the war in Iraq had been won. After his so-called victory speech, however, some 4,000 U.S. military personnel were killed. Perhaps a million Iraqis were killed. And the country's infrastructure and social fabric were so badly destroyed that they probably can never be repaired. Actually, there is much about the U.S. attack on Syria that reminds us of Iraq. With Iraq, the U.S. moved in to start bombing before international inspectors had completed their mission to verify whether or not Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Had they been allowed to complete their mission and verify that he did not, imagine the suffering, death, and destruction that could have been avoided. In Syria, the U.S. decided to start bombing before the international inspectors were even allowed to start checking claims that Assad gassed his own people in Douma. Why? What was the rush? Was the Washington afraid they might not find Assad guilty? Who really benefits from U.S. attacks on the Syrian government? There were reports that ISIS began making moves immediately after the airstrikes. Do we really want to be Al-Qaeda and ISIS's air force? Is that going to keep us safer? I remember when Al-Qaeda was actually considered our enemy, not an ally, in overthrowing the last secular government in the Middle East. Will Syria's Christians be better off after the recent U.S. attack? Just over a week ago, Christians celebrated Easter in Aleppo for the first time in years. What changed? The Syrian army kicked out Al-Qaeda, which had been occupying the eastern part of the city. So no, Christians will be much worse off if our so-called moderate terrorists take over Syria. If Syria really had sarin and other chemical weapons factory, does it make sense for the U.S. to bomb the buildings and risk killing thousands by widely dispersing the poisons? Does it make sense to risk killing Syrian civilians with chemical weapons in retaliation for allegations that the Syrian government killed civilians with chemical weapons? No, it seems more like the phony mobile weapons of mass destruction lab we were told that Saddam Hussein had construction. If the U.S. knew Syria was manufacturing chemical weapons in the buildings they bombed, why not notify the Organization for the Prevention of Chemical Weapons? The OPCW had certified the very buildings the U.S. bombed as chemical weapons-free not that long ago. Why not just call them up and ask them to check it out? After all, they were just arriving in the country as the U.S. started bombing. There are many more questions about President Trump's terrible decision to, again, make war on Syria. For example, where's Congress? It was disgraceful to see Speaker Paul Ryan telling the president he needs no congressional authority to attack Syria. All members of Congress take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, and an institution says that only Congress can declare war. Does that oath mean nothing these days? Thanks for calling.
To repeat the announcement,
yeah, there's a couple things there. Huh?
Don't do the repeat.
Oh, you want me to repeat it? Okay, hang on.
No, no. Well, I couldn't hear it anyway.
I'm just playing. Okay, a couple things. A couple things. I spoke on some stuff earlier, but I didn't hear one thing that I heard this time, and I forgot to mention the other. Okay. Why would the government bomb a building that had chemical weapons and chemicals in it that would poison the entire environment around it?
For the same reason they were being manufactured.
But no poisons were spread.
I don't believe it.
True.
I mean, there was no poisons there in the first place, or they were spread.
Right. So they wanted them to spread, or there was nothing there to begin with.
Or they lied about them being there, just wanted to cause mayhem and destruction.
Right. Either way, they caused mayhem and destruction.
Yeah.
Which is what they wanted. So they can create a problem, so they can advocate a solution for the problem.
Right.
And then blame somebody else. Well, if we were simple-minded, we would just buy what they said, hook, line, and sinker, without doing any investigation. Yeah, that's like when I asked, why did the 7 books that I found in the Catholic Bible were taken out of the Protestant Bible, and I was told people smarter than you and I decided they didn't belong in there. And I said, well,
you mean like the Council of Nicaea?
Well, yeah, but I mean, me questioning why they were taken out.
Why are the books that Jesus wrote in our Holy Scripture?
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, the simple-minded are the ones who just accept that as fact, as this is the way it's supposed to be, instead of questioning it. You know, the simple-minded would say, oh, the government's smarter than us, so whatever they say is true, because they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
That would be simple-minded.
Yeah, they got to be smarter than us, because we elected them.
That actually is true.
The system in the first
If you're dumb enough to elect them, then yes, they're smarter than you. So, that's my other point. Okay, why are we now allying with the people that we went there to attack in the first place?
World War I, we were allies with those same people, and then enemies with people that we've been allies with.
And every September 11th, people are always walking around with t-shirts saying, "We will not forget."
Oh, yeah.
But they forgot.
They've already forgotten the details.
Right.
You know, they remember 9/11 happened, but they don't remember who was where, when, why.
Yeah. Well, and the truth is, either Al-Qaeda didn't do it, or our government employed Al-Qaeda to do it.
Now, folks that are listening to this, that's not my disparaging remark on people who wear turbans on their heads. That was just the general disparaging statement that was made at the time, and probably still being made. And I observed that there was a group of people in my area who were not Arab, who wore turbans on their heads, and they were being attacked because they were ragheads.
Oh, yeah, ragheads are evil.
Right. They just weren't the ragheads that supposedly committed 9/11 crime, but they still wore turbans, and therefore were guilty of something some other group did. Namely, I'm talking about Sikhs where
right. Well, yeah, because the Indians wear towels on their heads, if you will.
Yeah, there's other people who wear those things on their heads. Right.
Yeah, it's not really a towel, but that's what people call it. Cowboy hat.
They're
simple minded. Oh, because they're simple minded.
And then if I pass them, they speed up and not let me pull in front of them.
Yeah, stupid is what stupid is. Where the heck did I put my advertisements? I'm trying to stuff an envelope. Well, you know, I got one of these envelopes that says, "No post is necessary if mailed in the United Soviet States of America." It's to an insurance company. So I'm going to advertise to them. Since they send me their junk mail, I'm going to send them my junk mail. Yeah. but I can't find my junk mail. It's around here somewhere. I mean, it's a small room. I don't know where it could be.
I'm crossing a body of water and there's an extreme fire danger.
Fire danger, yeah. The humidity is real low here, so there's a lot of fires down here. We're not actually, not that far from a fire right now. They ended up shutting down one of the wells that we service due to the fire.
Yesterday, the wind was coming straight out of the south.
You had what?
My phone was telling me how to respond. I got 2 miles and so to divert to PS444, which will also be 4412 and 66. And all this other stuff all at once.
Ah, found it. Okay, here it is.
1.5 miles, so it's 33.
Perfect. I knew it would fit. I got flyers and I got brochures. I wanted to make sure the brochure fit. Because it doesn't fit in most of these envelopes.
Okay, 412
West. Bam! So there you go. If you have a small business, free advertising. These people send you junk mail. Send them junk mail back if they send you an envelope that says, no postage necessary. You never know. The first
question, do you hear this woman's voice talking to me, telling me my directions while we go?
I think that's the least of our worries. We're getting a lot of feedback from your end.
Yeah, I'm in the process of changing my ways. Talking to me, telling me what to do. I'm curious if you can hear me.
No, we're getting other verbiage. Basically, well, right now, I'm not getting it. A minute ago, I was getting an echo repeat of what I was saying back to me.
That was probably me.
And then some other stuff. But now it's pretty clear.
Yeah, because my phone's not speaking to me right now. It's going to speak to me again here in a little bit. Once I get off of the new freeway, it's going to say, do this for another 4.5 miles.
Well, and earlier it was hard to understand you. Now I can understand you better.
You probably not told me to do it for another 44 miles.
You probably changed towers, and we're getting a better connection.
Yeah, that too, maybe.
So we're allying with the very people that supposedly attacked us or whatever, and we're supposed to be our enemies. They're supposed to be terrorists. And now our government is allying with these said terrorists.
I think, I'm not positive on this, but I think Russia was their ally in World War I. And then in World War II, it was our enemy.
That makes a little more sense.
All right. Well, same difference. And one of our enemies became our ally. You know, it, it, it switches. You know, it's all political expediency.
True that, because Al-Qaeda was our ally, and then they became our enemy, and now they're our ally again.
Hey, darn it, I forget what it's called. Eugenics. Eugenics was all the rage in the U.S., and Nazism was making a strong foothold here in the U.S., and then for whatever reason, we decided that Germany was our enemy. And that went into all of that.
Who?
Well, eugenics and Nazism was basically a German thing. Yeah, not that all Germans were into it, but, you know, it's basically Germany. And the United States was really big into that stuff. You know, a lot of the citizenry was gung-ho for that process. And then, for whatever reason, it became our enemy. And those processes went out the window with Germany. You know?
Oh, okay.
Germany wouldn't have had to come over and subjugate us. We would have merged with them happily if that hadn't changed.
If the Holocaust didn't happen.
Oh, no, I think the Holocaust would have happened one way or another.
Well, I know, but, okay, let me rephrase that. If it didn't happen, when it happened.
Which is a whole bunch about the Holocaust that didn't involve Jews, even though Jews claim that they were the main victims.
Well, Jews, it was Jews versus Jews, not Germans versus Jews.
Well, the Holocaust was Jews versus Jews in the first place.
Right.
It was Orthodox Jews versus atheist Jews.
Right. But they made it out to be Germans versus Jews. And all of the Nazis now are white people that hate Jews.
Okay, so, I'm not sure what I'm doing here.
So white Jew haters adopted the Jewish Nazi crap.
There's nobody on the freeway except for me and this guy in front of me. Pulled somebody over.
So the funny thing is if the white Jew haters knew that it was the Jews that came up with the concept that they're using to punish the Jews in the first place, they wouldn't be Nazis. Right or wrong?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. My computer was talking to me. He told me to keep right and stay on I-44.
Okay, yeah, okay. Stay on I-44.
He just told me that again. I could have stayed where I was here because the three lanes that goes to the right. Or to what? And I just realized it said keep right. I went to the left because that's what the arrow said to do, but the voice said keep right. And I got some asshole sitting in my corner. Come on. Thank you. Anyway, apparently I did the right thing despite what the boy said. So I might as well not have the voice.
You might as well not.
There, I just shut the voice off. I can't say that the mapping is entirely helpful in and of itself. itself either. It doesn't quite show enough detail. And what it says doesn't exactly make that science. Broken Arrow, 169.
Yeah, don't go that way.
Apparently, I am going that way.
Stay on I-44.
Yeah, I'm on I-44.
Okay.
Whataburger.
Whataburger.
Not what it says. And wrong.
Brahms is okay. I didn't know they served food. I thought it was just ice cream.
Yeah, it served food. I stopped at a Brahms. I think it was in Dallas or on the end of Dallas. It had been there for a long time. Its floor was slanted. It had wooden floors. Apparently it settled.
Okay.
I think it's safe to say it was considered a landmark. Otherwise, they would have made them tear it down and rebuild it for safety reasons.
Oh, yeah. That's the American way.
Like every once in a while, you go to a McDonald's that has a single arch. Those
tend to be
questionable buildings, too.
Yep, yep.
I-44. And somebody's flying a giant American flag in the dark. Barely lit up by the cars driving by.
That's the American way.
Yeah, someday I'll have to get a book on flag etiquette and read through it very carefully.
Your flag book?
A book on flag etiquette. They generally tell you that you're supposed to fly the American flag higher than any other flag. But when they give their reasons for why you're supposed to fly it higher than any other flag, well,
it null and voids
the reason that the theory of the American system, their explanation actually means that you should fly the state flag higher than the United States flag. Because the United States is serving the state. It's the service of the state. And therefore, the states are more important. And therefore, it should be flown higher.
Oh, that's blasphemy.
And the states are supposed to be serving the people. Therefore, any flag that represents the people should be flown higher than the state flag.
Oh, you need to be burned at the stake for that one.
Hey, since I'm more important than the flag, that'd be worse than flag burning.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the reason there's no traffic around me is because I'm on a toll road.
Because what?
Is the reason why there's no traffic around me because I'm on a toll road?
A toll road?
Yeah, I'm on I-44.
Probably. I mean,
What time is it? It's almost 10?
Yeah.
That's the reason there's not a lot of traffic.
Yeah, I'm just under 2 hours away from you.
Yeah, most people are probably going to bed right now.
Somebody took out the University of Oklahoma sign.
They're haters of education.
Now that they would like to sign up.
Do what?
If they hated education, they would have left the university signed up.
Why? Oh, right. I got it.
I didn't know how to answer your question. I was dumbfounded.
I'm a little slow, but I got it.
State University. One of the foundations of the American education system.
Yeah. The brainwashing programs.
Yeah, I love how they take a thing that used to educate people and bring in things by the same name that they don't. Which, you know, it's kind of fitting because, you know, we got Christians by name using the Savior's name to do the opposite of what the Savior told them to do.
That would be the ultimate of using the Lord's name in vain.
Well, yeah, that's using the Lord's name in vain. And they're going to get to heaven and say, I never once cursed or used a foul word out of my mouth. What do you mean I used your name in vain? Like, well, you called me Lord, Lord, and didn't do a darn thing I told you to do. That's right, humanity.
Okay.
You called on me, and when I responded, you ignored me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I know a lot of people like that. And I might be guilty of it myself sometimes.
Again?
I said, I know a lot of people like that, and I too might be guilty of it myself from time to time.
Well, yeah. So I didn't know when I started this trip.
You didn't know what?
I didn't know when I started this trip, but this trip's being billed to Jesus.
Really? Are you paying Jesus or somebody else?
Well, it's a service that I got hours on the books. Oh,
So this is basically your tithe and offerings.
Part of it.
And somebody else's.
But maybe an evil spirit whispered in my ear, but otherwise. I personally think what I'm doing is the result of some dumbass doing some stupid thing, but really, isn't that the reason why anybody needs help from Jesus? Do they get some stupid thing?
Never. That never happens. That never happens.
No, that never happens. But all the same, we'll see what comes of this, and we will, I'll make an estimate of how much time it took me to do this, and deduct it from what I owe Jesus in time.
Yeah, I don't do a calculated number, but
I have a receipt from when I filled the gas tank. So that's a good starting time. And so whatever time I arrive back is a good ending time. I don't know. If it helps the person I'm rescuing to change his ways in any way, shape, or form, it's a good thing.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Or if it affects people around him in a positive way, it's a good thing.
The second one, I believe. The second one, I believe, might happen before the first.
Well,
but I don't know anything. I'm just a dumb truck driver.
Okay. Oh, good. I did the right thing, accidentally.
Yeah, I started the podcast 30 minutes late, so we got 30 more minutes.
What else is on the show?
I'm sorry, what?
What else is on the show notes?
Show notes. Hang on a second. Okay. Podcast notes. Let's see here. On our old podcast notes, I need to go through those first. Oh. Cockroaches are not animals, correct?
Wrong. What do you think they are, robots?
They would be classified as bugs, correct?
Bugs are animals.
Oh, okay, never mind then. I guess we are animals. Man and other cockroaches.
We have a flesh and blood body, just like any other animal. But if you're following Scripture, we were given dominion over the animals, but we are not given dominion over each other.
Okay.
Therefore, we are not animals.
We are not other animals.
We're given dominion over the animals, but we're not given dominion over each other.
So we're not other animals.
We're not other animals. Now, as far as the flesh and blood body goes, yeah, it's basically an animal. But that flesh and blood body carries a human soul. I guess it basically accidentally got onto the frontage road.
What about the frontage road?
I accidentally got on the frontage road. The neighbor figured that out and I'm off by about 30 feet and is routing me to get back onto the freeway up ahead.
But you're on the freeway or you're on the frontage road?
I'm next to the freeway.
Oh, okay.
I'm on an extra wide road, but the speed limit is 40 miles per hour.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
It's 50 instead of 75.
Right.
Mind you, it's dark and not well lit.
And you don't know where you're going.
I don't know where I'm going, so I'm doing substantially slower than the speed limit.
And you're talking on the phone while driving.
It's hands free.
Oh, okay. So the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
Pretty much.
So the only thing that stops a bad guy with a nuclear weapon is a good guy with a nuclear weapon.
Potentially.
Huh?
Potentially.
I'm just playing. I'm just saying that in reference to a previous podcast.
Well.
No, yeah. Okay.
Honestly, I would trust Jeff the Trick with a nuclear weapon before I trust Uncle Sam with one. And you know what I think of the Trick.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I don't trust Uncle Sam with anything anymore. I used to.
It would be criminal to allow the Trick to handle a nuclear weapon.
I agree.
So what is it to let Uncle Sam?
Well, we have to.
No, we don't.
If we don't, then other people will blow us up.
No, I think the, crap.
Like Korea.
Is off by a few feet. It didn't tell me to turn until after it was really supposed to turn.
What about North Korea? Would they not try to blow us up if we didn't have weapons of mass destruction?
Actually, probably not, because we'd probably be better behaved, and we wouldn't piss them off to the point where they'd want to blow us up.
True. Why does North Korea want to blow us up?
Probably because we poked at them and did horrible things in their area about a half a century ago.
Well, why do they want to blow South Korea up?
You know, what was the cause of the Korean War in the first place?
I don't know.
Why was Uncle Sam over there? I suspect Uncle Sam created that whole situation.
Could be. They create a lot of situations. Kind of like the situation you described when you was on that submarine.
I wasn't on a submarine.
Or on that ship. Yellow submarine. Yellow submarine. Yeah, when you was on board that ship and you witnessed somebody with U.S. beacons, if you will, initiating war from both sides.
Somebody using equipment that was manufactured by and specifically for the United States. The media, I think, was actually operating, but it was equipment manufactured for the United States to operate, was instigating a fight between these two countries and the Gulf of Oman.
Now, my question is, why did the other two countries not pick up on that?
You know,
I mean, why was it that only you or maybe a couple other people picked up on it? But they did nothing about it. I think we lost David. And there he is, calling me back. Why didn't you just call the podcast?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm going to have to end the podcast in 20 minutes anyway.
All right. So, basically the answer is like this. Even if you figure out an hour later, somebody was sticking with you. All right? In the heat of the moment, you're going to react to what things appear to be.
Now, that's true. That happens to all of us.
And, yeah, when you're in high school and grade school and all of that, you're sitting in high school and this spitwad hits you in the side of the face from what appears to be the cross of the room. And you turn and you glare at the guy on the far side of the seat because he looks guilty.
Or he's your natural enemy.
All right. And so a little while later, you know, you might fire some spitballs at him, and he fires one back, confirming that, you know, he was indeed the one who shot you in the first place. Okay? A little while later, he feels loud and clear than you. And he shoots you, and you shoot him back. Meanwhile, both of you are kind of minding your own business in between, but it's the guy in the middle that keeps shooting the both of you.
Right, instigating the problem.
Right, and then you might figure out moments after you shoot the other guy, but by then it's too late because you've already shot the guy across the room.
Well, then I would apologize for the guy and go after the guy who actually initiated the fight.
Now, that takes somebody with a cool head. Now, let's imagine you're both hotheads in the first place and can never admit that you were ever wrong, regardless of how you became wrong.
True, because, yeah, there are people like that.
And, of course, countries tend to be more childish than the individuals that make them up. So, there you go.
There you go.
Emotions, the way that smart people pick dumb people to lead them by the nose.
I know, right? So the only difference between a smart criminal and a dumb criminal is the smart criminals run for political office.
They don't know that they're even, don't even know that they're a criminal.
Well, some of them become criminal after they run for political office. They get in. They think they're doing the right thing, but they're not.
I would argue the act of running for political office is in itself a criminal act.
No. Well, it's just like joining the military. It's not necessarily a criminal act. People think they're doing it for the right reasons, and then a lot of them don't even realize what they're doing until after it's too late. Like yourself, for example. I wanted to join the military, but I couldn't. They said I was too crazy or whatever. But I couldn't join the military. Now I'm glad I didn't. But I, too, wanted to join the military because I thought it was the right thing to do. You know, I wanted to be G.I. Joe and serve and protect and be all I could be, you know, aim high. Do what?
You got lucky. They wouldn't take you.
Yeah, I tried to be one of their brainwashies, but they didn't want me.
That's all right. They came chasing after me 2 years early. They wanted to get me before I got out of high school.
Right. They thought you were extra dumb.
Which might explain why none of the school counselors even counseled me. They figured since the military wanted me, my career path was set. Never started running.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say they treated me any differently than they treated anybody else. But it amazes me that there aren't more people like me coming out of the military.
What? Educated?
Yeah, and understanding what they saw.
Oh, yeah. Well, because it's getting worse, really. That's the reason. You know, people are waking up.
Well, that's just it, though. I don't see many people waking up the way I did.
Oh,
I mean, aren't there more people waking up the way I did?
Oh, I don't know. I thought you said there was.
No, I'm not seeing it.
Probably not. But there are people.
I'm in the operations room, and I'm pointing out, hey, that appears to be our equipment. And they couldn't argue with me. Because it has the signature of our equipment.
Right.
But they still denied that it was us.
I think there are people that are waking up to that even today because the technology's there still. They're just maybe not talking about it on a podcast. One guy I work with, he is in the Army, or he's getting out of the Army. He's still he's still technically active until September, but he's more or less reserved now, and he only has to report on the weekends. And some weekends he gets out of it, but he gets out of it as much as he possibly can. Going to Iraq woke him up. He misses Iraq. He wants to go back and live there. He says it's a beautiful country. The people are so much better than the people here. You know, it's like he went to war to fight these horrible people and fell in love with their people. And come to realize they're not as bad as the media makes them out to be.
No, I mean, everybody's after the Muslims over and over and over again. It's like, if there's somebody who's a radical Christian and there's a horrible crime in the name of Christ, do we blame all Christians for that act that they commit? Or we just point at him and say he was unusual?
Well, if we were Muslim.
For a Muslim, a radical Muslim. You know, there's Bible-thumping Christians, and there's Korean-thumping Muslims.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure regular Muslims find Bible-thumping Muslims to be annoying.
Just like the rest of us find Bible-thumping Christians to be annoying.
Right. Which is a dangerous thing to be for me to say, because I'm probably more of a Bible-thumper than most. The only difference is I try to actually understand what I'm thumping.
True.
And my most active thumping is against other Christians who are ignoring what they read.
I just don't care anymore.
Well, and then there's Joseph, who calls me last night and claims the Bible says this and the Bible says that. I say, where does it say that? It says it right here. Oh, okay. So what was the original Greek word or the original Hebrew word used in this paragraph? Well, I don't know. So we don't really know what it says in the first place. You know, it's written in the King James. Like, well, was it translated correctly? Oh, yes, absolutely. Oh, well, which version of the King James was translated correctly? Well, all of them. It's like, well, wait a minute. This King James is a lot different than that King James. You're saying they're both correct?
Yes. Because King James is God. And God never fails. King James is like Uncle Sam.
Well, yeah, I mean, people say something that may be true, that God preserves his word. So how do you know that this particular book is God's preserved word? Well, it has to be, because it's the only one, really. I see lots of religions out there that claim that they have God's preserved word.
Oh, yeah, look at the Mormons.
Now, how do you know God didn't preserve his word by spreading it far and wide?
Right. Yeah, the Mormons also have God's preserved word. It was written in golden, or was it, no, silver tablets.
Not gold tablets. Trust me.
Oh, yeah, golden. Okay. I don't remember. I forgot. Yeah, I went to an RLDS church. I was caught all that stuff. I just don't remember most of it because it don't mean a hill of beans to me anymore.
That's all right. I found the RLDS Book of Mormon in one of the thrift stores in Stockton.
Oh, cool.
in an LDS area.
Stockton is a strong LDS, FLDS area. And we just happened to end up there. How did that work out?
Well, think of a lascivious first degree you had in the first place.
Yeah, but he had nothing to do with the LDS. Maybe God meant. Maybe they do have the true word of God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have drawn us there.
I don't know. I can't see the servant of Satan drawing it true.
I meant God. But that's, people say that all the time. People say that God uses the devil in mysterious ways.
Yeah. Well, another hour and a half, you're going to be ready to give me a tour of the house you're working on?
No, I'll be asleep. You'll have to leave it on the doorstep. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. If you need to crash on the couch here, you can.
No. I need to be... I think it's called Nixon?
Where? Oh, Denton. So is he going to drive back?
Before tomorrow morning.
Is he going to drive back?
I'll go. No, not after he wrecked the AKHR. Total it. I'm not letting him behind his wheel.
So you're driving back.
He may have to wait for me to sleep 8 hours, but he ain't getting behind his wheel. Now I'm going to hear directly from Bill saying, let him drive. At which point I'm going to say, Bill, are you going to pay my taxi fare?
Right. There's always Greyhound. Why didn't he take Greyhound in the first place?
Because he has to go back and get stuff out of the AKHR. The AKHR came distracted from the vehicle he was towing it behind. And that's how it got told.
Okay. I figured as much.
He made his delivery, or is making his delivery. He's going to make his delivery tomorrow morning, and then we're going to head back up.
So somebody rear-ended him.
No. He let go of his tow car.
Right, he wrecked his tow car, but
yeah,
he didn't do it while he was towing it.
He didn't bolt it on properly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he either didn't seal the hitch, or he didn't tighten the bolts right, and he didn't have the tow chains attached. you know, there's multiple things he had to have done wrong. He may have done the chase properly, but he probably kept on driving even though the truck, the car just passed. And, yeah, this wouldn't be the first time that he had the car behind him. He came late. He really messed up the front end earlier when he let that safety car run into what he was driving.
He's not a very good. He's not a very good truck driver.
He kept driving it by the chains and just kept doing it until the chains finally went loose. You know, I'm
so he's not a very good truck driver.
No.
Because a truck driver's main job is to make sure he knows how to tow a vehicle.
Yeah.
And if you can't tow a vehicle, you can't really drive a truck.
Yeah.
Because, you know, driving a truck without a trailer behind it or something being pulled is not really driving a truck. It's like driving a car, really.
And the bus, you know, you can't get this to the back of the bus.
Right. Same difference.
Which basically means he's got to put a whole lot more effort into making sure it's secure than you do.
Well, yeah, because you can't see it.
You can't see it, and he's the one attaching the equipment to do the actual towing. It doesn't come up with the vehicle. It's not on the manufacturer. It's on him. To make sure it's done right. At least it was manufactured by the manufacturer to tow something. And a half-ass inspection would, you know, catch gross errors. But the minor errors are probably already covered. But if you're attaching it yourself, you got to make sure even the minor errors.